My name is Lily Madwhip, and I see things before they happen.
Don't stare at me, ass face.
That's my brother, Roger. He doesn't see things before they happen. I know this because if he did, he would see what's about to happen to him. Then again, maybe he does. But people like us can't see things that are about to happen to ourselves. I don't know, truthfully. All I know is that in about 3 minutes, Roger is going to die. You're going to die, I tell him.
Did you just threaten me?
He snarls. Roger is 6 years older than me. He goes to high school and has two best friends named Skeeter and Dustin. They like to wear shirts without sleeves that have the names of heavy metal bands on them. And sometimes they hang out in the garage and try to play music like those bands until my dad goes out and yells at them to stop. At his funeral, they're going to wear jackets and ties, and their hair is going to be combed for once. And I'll never see them after that. Which is nice. I love Roger because he's my brother. But when he's gone, things will be just a little bit nicer. Sorry, Roger. No, I told him truthfully. I'm just trying to warn you. I love you, Roger.
Shut up, weirdo.
He punches me in the shoulder and I cry like I'm supposed to, but it doesn't really hurt. Mom's head swivels around her neck from the front of the car and gives us both that look that says she regrets having us. I know she doesn't, but all parents think that from time to time. I wonder where I'd be right now if I'd never had kids. No, I'm not a mind reader, too. I just know these things. Will you two knock it off back there? Mom asks. It's not really a question, though. It's an order. Adults can give orders in the form of questions. If you're a kid and you try to do this, it doesn't work. I once tried to order Roger to give me back my doll, Pasher, by asking him, and he laughed at me and twisted Pasher's head off. Mom had to sew it back on. But she's never been one for sewing, so it's kind of crooked now. I told her I didn't mind. It gives him personality. Mom and Dad think it's weird that I named my doll Pasher. I don't know why. Pasher was an angel, after all. People don't think it's weird if you name your doll Gabriel or Michael or Layla. But give it the name Uriel or Gavriel or Pasher, and everybody gives you funny looks. I hug Pasher in my arms and look out the front of the car. There's a sign that says, Rest Area 1 mile. And beneath it, a smaller sign that says, Next Rest Area 46 miles. At the speed my dad drives, that should take us about half an hour, I think.
Rest area coming up. Does anybody need to go?
We stopped hours back at McDonald's, and I had a cheeseburger with some fries and a small Sprite. I couldn't finish the burger or fries, but the Sprite made my tummy happy because sometimes I get a little carsick, so I drank the entire thing. Now, I need to go, but this is where Roger dies, so I lie. I don't. Thinking about having to go makes it worse. I cross my legs. Roger notices.
Lily has to go. She's squirming around back here. I don't want her pissing on me.
He makes a grossed out face, and I can appreciate the genuine disgust of being peed on by someone else. But Roger, I'm trying to save your life here. Mom looks back again, and I shake my head at her. Lily, if you have to go, I don't.
She does, and I do too.
I don't think Roger actually has to go. Dad turns onto the ramp for the rest stop, ending the conversation. There's two lanes, one for the big trucks and one for the little cars. Our station wagon takes the second lane and wraps back around to go up a hill to the parking lot for the rest area. There's some sort of big rock on a pedestal with a commemorative plaque at the base with lots of names of people who are dead. Other families are going in and coming out of the glass-wrapped building. I wonder how far we are from the nearest hospital.
Everybody out.
Lily, hurry. Mom says as she unbuckles her seatbelt and opens the door. I look over to Roger one last time and try to smile. He looks back at me. For a moment, there's the faintest glimmer of recognition in his eyes. I think maybe he's going to shut the door and stay in the car. And then he sneers at me, and the moment is lost.
Stop staring at me, ass face!
Language, Roger.
Dad says in his tone that means he doesn't actually care. But he has to act like he does so Mom won't get mad. We all get out. Mom holds my hand as we cross the parking lot, even though I'm not a baby. I keep looking back at Roger and Dad and waiting for it to happen. Roger's going to die. I know it. I just don't know how. Maybe that big rock is going to come loose from its base and fall right on top of him, like a boot on an ant. I've stepped on ants before. I always say sorry afterward, but it's kind of pointless by then. I wonder if his insides will squish out like they do on ants. The rock does not squish Roger. My mom takes me into the women's restroom where we do our business. The toilets are those ones that flush automatically. They always scare me. Like, I think the one I'm on won't detect that I'm on it anymore and flush and I'll get sucked in. I go, but the whole time I'm waiting to hear the shouts and cries from outside. Maybe Roger gets sucked into the automatic toilet. My mom has a word for something like that. Apropops. Roger does not get sucked into the automatic toilets. We meet out in the lobby area where they have an information kiosk and little cubby holes filled with sightseeing maps and brochures for hotels and water parks. I want to look at the one about an outdoor animal safari zoo, but Dad is in a hurry to get back on the road, so Mom drags me back out to the parking lot. We pile into the station wagon with empty bladders. I'm feeling a bit confused, because Roger is still alive, and it's been at least 10 minutes since I knew he was going to die. I don't say anything on the matter because Mom and Dad don't like it when I talk about my premonitions, as they call them. Also, I'd rather not jinx it if I'm actually wrong for once. Roger's kind of mean, but he's my brother and I love him. I hug Pasher and stare out the window as we pull out of our parking space. Suddenly, Pasher is snatched from my arms. I turn, startled, to see Roger holding the doll out of his window, waving it in his hand. He grins at me.
Hey, assface. Want to see if your dolly can fly?
I realize this is the moment. I can't help but say something. This is when you die, I tell him solemnly. Roger's smirk is replaced by one of anger. He lets go of Pasher, who disappears beneath the wheels of our car. In my distress, I cry out, lurching against my seatbelt as if I can whisk out the window and snatch Pasher up before he's lost forever. Mom turns and starts asking loudly what just happened. Dad turns to yell at us to stop it. Lily, stop screaming. Roger, what did you do? Roger, what did you do? My father is looking in the rearview mirror at what he considers his two biggest mistakes. My mother is passing her glare back and forth between me and Roger. Roger is looking at Mom and Dad and trying to put on an innocent expression as he lies and tells them that I started it. Only one of us is looking at the lane for the big trucks that we're currently merging with at Dad's typical high rate of speed. And that's me. What I see out Roger's window is a giant truck with lots of big tires and a large trailer on back barreling down at us with a driver in the cab who looks as shocked and confused as I am. I'm not screaming for Pasher anymore. I'm screaming for Dad to break or steer or anything, but he can't tell the difference between one type of screaming and the next. And anyway, it's too late. Do you know what a T-bone is? I always thought it was a type of steak. My Uncle George ordered a T-bone once at a restaurant, and he got this mammoth piece of meat with the bone still in it. That's why they call it a T-bone. Because the bone is there, and it looks like the letter T. Apparently, T-bone is also a type of collision where one vehicle strikes another in the side. Because the two vehicles make a T-shape, just like the bone in the steak my uncle ordered. That's what the big truck does to us. It T-bones us right before the on-ramp to the interstate. The nearest hospital is 23 minutes away. I would never have guessed that number. They take Roger and my dad there in an ambulance. Dad has a dislocated shoulder and a lot of cuts and bruising. Roger is airlifted to Boston Memorial. He gets to fly in a helicopter. Although, he isn't conscious for it, so he kind of misses out. He dies from internal injuries before he gets there. Mom and I are treated for lots of little cuts from glass and stuff. The driver of the truck is fine, but shook up by the whole thing. I hope he doesn't blame himself for Roger's death. That was nobody's fault but Roger. One of the emergency medical people who treats us on the scene finds Pasher and gives him back to me. He always finds his way back to me. The EMT asks me what my doll's name is and gives me a funny look when I tell him. I don't tell him that he's about to get a call for an old lady who suffered a stroke in some place called Middlebury. That kind of trivial information is lost on most people. Kind of like I know my mom and dad are going to cry and hug each other and worry about Roger until they find out he's dead. After that, Dad will be more distant because he secretly blames me. It's not a secret, Dad. I know. And Mom will hug me a little tighter each night at bedtime. I see it. But they don't need to know I do. I hope Roger is in a better place. But Pasher tells me he's not. Pasher is always right.